Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. We are still in our amazing theme for the year of 2023, which is Sunday School Stories. Each week, we go through different topics in the Bible. We go through different stories and events. And these, you may have heard these stories before. If you grew up in church, you know them as the famous Sunday School Stories. But what we have done has talked about them in a way that you know, hey, this is something that we can relate to, our stories, our testimonies, our experiences, to where you can realize that these aren't just stories to read, but these are stories that we can live out in our lives and we can see God move just the same as those in the scriptures. So this week, I have an amazing opportunity of bringing one of my friends on the show today. Very excited about this. And her name is Lisa Gant. So you may, if you've been around on the podcast for a while, you may have heard her before. Her voice maybe sounds familiar to you. We've done several collaborations together over the years in ministry. She had a podcast as well. And so with that, we've been able to do several collaborations. But let me tell y'all a little bit about Lisa if this is your first time tuning in. So Lisa Gant, she is a writer, editor, entrepreneur, and founder of Purpose Without Apology, a faith-based podcast that teaches women to think outside the box about their God-given purpose. She is also a devoted wife and mom and has followed Christ for most of her life. She lives her life based on Micah 6:8, which says to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So, like I said, you may have heard her if you have tuned in to Purpose Without Apology, or if you've heard one of our collaborations, but I'm excited to invite her on today so that you can hear from her as we discuss the story of Moses and the burning bush. But before we get into it, let me invite Lisa on. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be a good talk. Y'all, in our ministry group that we have, our friend group, we call Lisa the sniper. So what happens is Lisa will just like drop these bombs on you and then just like you got to take it. Sorry. Like, and it's all such powerful things. She gives a lot of good nuggets of wisdom and just things that the Lord reveals and shares with her. So y'all get ready for this conversation. I'm excited about it. So Lisa, we're talking about Moses and the burning bush. For those that are listening, you can find the story in Exodus chapter 3. So that is the second book in the Old Testament, or second book in the Bible, if you're going chronologically, third chapter, and we're seeing this experience of Moses and the burning bush. So before we get too deep into the story, Lisa, would you mind giving them a brief summary about the story?
Sure, I'd love to. So in Exodus chapter 3, Moses is, he's operating as a shepherd in Midian, and he is, you know, kind of out with his flock. You know, he helps his father-in-law Jethro out, and he's on the Mount of Horeb, the mountain of God, and he comes across this burning bush. And the bush is on fire, but it doesn't burn up. And so Moses is amazed by this. And he goes closer and he hears the Lord speak to him and call him out, Moses, Moses. And Moses is intrigued by this because he's never seen anything like it before. And so God proceeds to speak to him and tell him that he's heard the cries of the Israelites in Egypt. They're being oppressed by the Egyptians. They're enslaved by them. And God says, I'm calling you, Moses, to come and deliver them. And there's this back and forth with God and Moses where he's really just, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And he's asking, you know, who am I to be sent by you, God? And who, how, you know, who should I tell them sent me? And there's this wonderful moment where God says to tell them that I am that I am has sent you to deliver the Israelites. And I could shout right there because that is just a moment right there. But it's really just this amazing conversation that God has with Moses where he's calling him out of his comfort zone and into this amazing destiny of delivering the Israelites. So that's a brief summary for you.
Yeah, that sums it up right then and there. So like you said, there's a lot of good moments within this story, and we're going to kind of dive deep into it as we go through the conversation. But I wanted to just ask you first. So you had the option of choosing from quite a few different stories in the Bible. Why this story? Why did you want to specifically talk about this story on the podcast?
It's interesting because I wasn't really sure why I chose this story in the moment. It's kind of crazy. I just really felt drawn to it and I didn't know why at first. But as I went in prayer with the Lord about it and really kind of asked him about it, I realized that because I really struggled to relate. I've never seen a burning bush on fire before. I've never had that kind of radical moment with God like that. But as I was praying about it, I felt like the Lord really kind of spoke to me that there's really nothing more important or not many things more important than the ability to hear from God, to recognize God's voice. And so I could really relate to that aspect of the story of hearing God's voice and seeking his voice and hearing him speak in unusual ways and unexpected ways. I think God has this wonderful ability to blow our minds and to do things that we weren't expecting when we weren't expecting them. And so I think that that's really what drew me to this story. And I could relate to that aspect of it, of God speaking and saying things that I didn't expect and directing me in ways that I didn't expect. And I think that that's something anyone can relate to when they hear this story.
Yeah, for sure. You really hit on a good point when you talked about just the ability to hear from God. That is probably one of the most asked questions that I get, because it's a common thing that Christians will say, right? Like, I heard the Lord, the Lord spoke to me. And for someone who's never experienced that, they're like, did it sound like a big booming voice from the sky?
Right.
No. And, you know, and then sometimes it's hard to put it into words of how exactly you know that it's God. But I kind of wanted to talk about that a little bit as far as just hearing from God. So there's a couple things that I advise to people when they ask this question. The first thing that I tell people is that the person that you spend the most time with is who you will know their voice the clearest, right? Like, I tell people I could be in a crowded room and if my mom starts talking, I know that it's her because her voice will stick out above the rest. And it goes the same thing spiritually too. So if someone is maybe listening to this and they're already like, oh, I don't hear from God, this episode is going to be weird. No, I want to encourage you. Like, this is how you begin to hear from God. Like, it's almost like you practice it, right? Like, you practice hearing from his voice more and more over time. And so one big thing that I encourage people to do is to spend time with God, get in his word, spend time in prayer, and begin asking the Lord to speak to you. And over time, you will begin to realize, oh, this is the Lord speaking. Now, along with that, someone else will say, well, how do I know it's me or if it's God? Like, how can I figure out the two? Very common question. I've been in that same position myself. And I think it still goes hand in hand with what I said to begin with, is spending more time with him. The more time you spend, you'll begin to discern the difference. But the other thing that I also advise and suggest is that look and see if what you're hearing or what you believe that you're hearing is from God. See if it aligns with his word, right? Because they're not going to contradict each other. He's not going to be like, hey, go kill somebody, you know, like, they're not going to do that because his word says thou shalt not kill. So that's a very, I guess, morbid example or very grandiose example, but it helps to bring the point home to let you know that if you're hearing something, make sure it aligns with God's word. Is it truth? Does it represent who God is? And then from there, begin to, you know, further discern. You also can ask God for confirmation too. Like, if you're like, I don't know, it may be me, it may not, because sometimes our feelings just, you know, we be in our feelings and we think we, oh yeah, that was God. God was like, girl, that was not me. Like,
okay, listen.
So that's when we have to say, okay, just to make sure, let me get some confirmation there. So if you've already gone to the word and it's, and maybe it does line up, one, that's kind of confirmation too. But if you're really just like, I need to know for sure, ask the Lord to send confirmation, and he will, and he's faithful to do that. So I wanted to speak on that as you're talking about hearing from God.
Yeah, I love that, especially what you said about God's voice aligning with his word. I think that's a really key thing. And sometimes people feel like there's a way around that somehow, where if you know, I want to hear from God, but I don't really want to spend time in the Bible. And it's those two go together, you know? So I love that you said that. And I fully agree. I think it's so important to really dig deep and spend time in the word so that you know the things that God cares about, the things that he prioritizes, the things that are important to him, and just to get his perspective. The two really go together in so many ways. It's very true.
Yeah, for sure. And I tell people, They're like, oh, I want God to speak to me. I said, he's already spoken. That's the 66 chapters of the Bible. Like, he's already spoken. And I know what people mean when they're saying that, but start with the things that he's already spoken, and then you'll begin to hear him speak on other things in your life. So yeah, for sure. So with this chapter, right, there's a lot that goes in there. There's a lot of very cool, I guess, key verses. So what are some of the verses that stick out to you and why?
So the first verses that really stuck out to me were verses 2 and 3, where it talks about God really, how the Lord speaks to Moses. And it says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. And so Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. And that's verses 2 and 3. And to me, what stood out about them was the uniqueness in how God spoke to Moses, right? As far as I know, there's never been another burning bush that didn't burn up, right? This is a very unique situation that God had with Moses, but he speaks to us individually in unique ways too, right? I think that there's so many ways that God can speak. In my life, he's spoken through people, you know, people that I know, sometimes people that I don't know. There's in the Bible, there's examples of people having dreams and there's so many, and even through circumstances, right? When Jonah, was trying to run from God and God sent a storm, right? There's so many ways that God can speak that are individual to us, and ways that we can really hear him and connect with him. And it shows how intentional he is about each of us, how he cares about each of us. And his way of communicating is like a fingerprint. It's as individual as our fingerprint with us. And so I love that about God, that he doesn't change, but he addresses each of us in ways that we can really hear and understand and appreciate, that are unique to our personality. That was something that really stood out to me in that part of the chapter. Another verse that really stood out to me was verse 5, where it talks about where God immediately says, do not come any closer, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And that part really resonated with me about the holiness of God. I think that there is so much to unpack there about how God is not like us
at all.
He is at all. Like, he is separate and holy and righteous and pure. And just every time you see someone in the Bible have an encounter with God, their immediate reaction is to either fall on their face or have a moment like Moses where they take off their shoes, and there's just a reverence and an awe for God and a respect for God. And I think as a culture, we've kind of lost some of that. We've lost that reverence for God, that he's not like our homeboy, you know?
Right.
I get it. I get where people come from with some of that terminology of, we feel close to God, right? He's our father and he loves us and he has this intimacy with us, and he wants to be intimate with us as our father. But there's also a respect that needs to be there, right? If we Absolutely. Even think about going to visit the president of a country or the leader of a country, right? You don't just come like in your pajamas, like you just woke up and went there, right? Yeah. You're not going to just kind of come in and act super casual. Like, this is the leader of a nation. And there's a protocol and a way to approach them and a respect that you have. And I wonder if we have that same respect for the God of the universe, if we have that same protocol when we approach him.
I tried to tell y'all, I tried to warn y'all before we started this. Because it does not play. No, but that is so good. I'm actually reading right now through Jackie Hill Perry's book, Holier Than Thou. And it's all about God's holiness, right?
Yeah.
And oh man, like, it's so, I love talking about God's holiness. There's so much to it. There's some things that we can't even really put to words per se, but I think that's what makes this moment so cool. Like you said, going back to what you said about the burning bush, like, yes, that was cool. Like, okay, it's on fire, but it's not burning. So it's like, there's a supernatural element there, but then on top of it, just being like a supernatural thing, you add, boom, God's presence, God's holiness, and it's a whole new thing now. Like, you are so right. We have lost as a whole, we have lost the concept of God's holiness. And we've tried to make holiness our own, and that's, Lord Jesus, that's a whole nother conversation. But as a whole, like, we have forgotten how holy God is. And because of that, we struggle, or we're more prone to just sin, because when we lose sight of God's holiness, we also lose sight of reverence for him. Like you mentioned, we lose sight of wanting to obey his commands that he's already laid out for us. When we forget how holy he is, when we lose sight of that, everything else will be affected. Like, it's a trickle down cascading effect, because then if I don't really care about his holiness, then why should I care about his judgment?
Yeah.
Because we are judged for our sin. Right? Like, we're going to be judged for unrepented sin. But if we don't really care about the holy side of him, which causes him to judge, then we lose our conviction. We lose anything else that would put us in a position to want to repent. So yeah, like, God's holiness, we as a whole, as a body, as a church, definitely need to remind ourselves of God's holiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think another piece of that too is, in addition to the repentance, because I think that's so critical that we really kind of live a lifestyle of repentance. But I think another aspect of that is really appreciating the fact that God does operate differently than we do. And I think another aspect of this story with Moses that makes it so interesting is that God, as I was reading it, you know, God spoke to Moses about something that I don't think Moses expected in any way, shape, or form, right? I don't think that he was thinking about the Israelites like that. He had his own life in the wilderness, and he had gotten married and had a family. And he, you know, might have expected, if God were to speak about his life and the things that were important to him. But God, in his holiness and his sovereignty and his set apartness, I know that's not a word, but you know what I mean. He started speaking to him about something different than what Moses probably expected. And so often in my own prayer life, and I think a lot of people can relate to this, you can go to God with what your requests are and the things that are important to you. And he cares about those things, but so often he'll talk to you about something completely different. And you're like, well, this is not what I asked you for, though.
Yeah, I'm like, did you hear what I said? Because it was not about this. And he's like, yeah, girl, I heard you, but listen up, okay? No, that's so true, because this was a big deal. Like, Moses was being called to go and lead the people after this. Like, this was his call to ministry, I guess, if you want to call it that, right? Yeah. Like, Moses was not expecting this. And that is so true. This is the thing, when we're asking for God to speak to us, be ready to hear what he has to say. And it may not be what you want to hear. It may not be what you thought you were going to hear, but it's what you need to hear. So it's not like, be careful what you pray for, because I want you to hear God's voice, but don't just want to hear God's voice when it's, should I date this guy? Should I not date this guy? Like, yes, those are important things too. But if he's calling you to the nations, then you need to listen to that part too. Like, if he's calling you to forgive that person that hurt you 25 years ago, that's also something to hear from God. So yeah, he's going to speak. He will do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, and the last thing that I really kind of pulled from this story, the last scripture that really stood out to me was verse 15, where God says to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. And this kind of ties into the holiness piece a little bit, because it really, to me, speaks to the unchanging nature of God. Like, he's consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you see that throughout the chapter. If you read through the chapter, there's this constant refrain of, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He says it over and over again. And it's this sense that God is really just, you know, he is unchanging. He is consistent. He is a generational God. He's not just a God of right now and this exact moment. He's thinking about your future when you're in, when he's with you in your present, right? He sees your past too. He sees where he's brought you from and he sees where you're going. And so because we're humans and we're limited and we're trapped inside of time and we have this limited perspective, we hear things that God says and we don't always process them. We don't always understand them. We get confused and frustrated by them. Why did God allow me to go through this? Why did God let this happen to me? Why did God let me not have this opportunity or these things that I wanted? But his perspective is he sees your tomorrow. He sees where you are 20 years from now. He knows the end result and he knows how to get you there. And so when he gives you the instructions that he gives you, when he tells you that he wants you to take certain directions and to stop doing certain things and stop connecting to certain people and take certain opportunities and they don't make sense to you, it's because he knows the end from the beginning and he knows things that you just don't know. That's why the Bible says that his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are literally not our thoughts. He thinks differently than we do and he understands differently than we do. And so for me, that brings me so much comfort to know when I seek God in prayer, when I go to him and I ask him about things and I'm confused and frustrated about things in my own life and you in your life and all of us in our lives, he can give me that perspective that I don't have. He can give me that wisdom and that knowledge and that insight and that comfort that I didn't even know that I needed, because he is the Alpha and the Omega and he does know my end and he does have a good future planned for me.
That is so good. So, so good. Knowing that he sees the bigger picture will put us in a position of obedience, because then you realize, okay, this, like you said, does not make sense. But if I trust that you have kind of like the bird's eye view, like you can see the whole thing where I'm just seeing right here, this 1D view, then I trust that if you're calling me to do something that makes absolutely no sense, then I will trust God with that anyway, regardless of how much it does or doesn't make sense to me. And that's when we have to really check ourselves, because I tell people, you can reason and rationalize your way out of obedience. When you try to start putting the pieces together and trying to figure out, well, this doesn't make sense because then I'll be making less money here and I don't know anybody in that state and I don't know if I qualify for that thing. And he's like, baby, if you would just go, got you. I already have people lined up. I already have favor waiting on you at that job. I already got people in the next state that will be your church community, whatever it is. Like, I've already aligned things for you. So you just have to trust me. That's what the Lord wants from us, is for us to trust him. And sometimes he has to speak to us in big ways like this for us to be like, oh, you serious? Like, you really want me to do this? You know, he was like, I already know, Moses. Let me set a bush on fire real quick, but not let it burn, because I already know this man. This joker gonna be like, nah, this ain't God. I don't know who he was like, I know my child. Let me do something big. And sometimes he has to, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's a still small voice. I'm like, Lord, no, I need the earthquake. Like, give me an earthquake so that I can understand that it's you. Like, I know whoever's with me, just say amen, wherever you are. If you need the big kind of like booming voice to know when it's time, I get it. I get it for sure. But yeah, we really do. We really have to trust that he is who he says that he is. He is I am that I am. He is Alpha and Omega. He is all these beautiful attributes that we know him to be. And it's a beautiful thing when you don't just know that he's those things, but when you experience him being those things, right? Because now Moses goes on this journey moving forward. If y'all don't know about Moses, he ends up leading these people, God's chosen people, the Israelites, out of slavery into the promised land. And it's this amazing journey, crazy journey that they go on. And it's a huge task. God couldn't give this task to just anybody. He specifically chose Moses for this assignment. And he knew that Moses would get frustrated at times. He knew that Moses would get discouraged, but he still had trusted him in that assignment. And so the same thing goes for those that are listening or watching. Trust that God knows why he's assigned you to this certain thing. He knows why he has put you in certain positions or asked certain things of you. He sees way beyond what you do. So y'all, just trust him. Just trust him. It'll be way easier that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
Yeah, for sure. So in your own life, as you've just been walking with the Lord, like you said, for majority of your life, how have you been able to experience moments like this where God has spoken to you?
There's so many. I think that it's really kind of a lot of the small moments that I think stand out for me the most. Just in terms of, God really does care about the small things in our lives or things that seem small. But they're really, he's so intentional about the details. And so it could be things like, for example, the Lord's really been speaking to me about getting my health in order, right? And so in terms of, eating healthier and exercising more, it's one of those things that just kept coming up for me in prayer. Like, you need to get this together. Like, girl, no, you really need to get this together. and he's so patient because it was something that he's been dealing with me for a while on, and he's kind of just given me gradual steps as I've moved in obedience. And it's like the message evolved in a way over time. And so that's been really interesting, just kind of seeing how God speaks about things that seem little, but really matter in the long term in terms of health and wellness and things like that. But a big example of how I've been hearing from God, especially lately, is in terms of my focus and in terms of what he wants me to focus on and what he doesn't want me to focus on. Last year, you want to talk about earthquakes, girl. I felt like it was one big earthquake for me last year, just the whole year, just a whole earthquake, because it was just, God was shaking all of the things in my life that I had been comfortable for me, to be honest with you. And so in particular, one of the biggest changes that he asked me to make was to end my podcast. And that was really difficult for me. I had all these expectations built in of where I wanted to go with it and what I wanted to do and how I wanted it to be. And God was like, nope, you're done. I'm moving you to something else now. And that was so hard. I wrestled with it for a long time because, I think a lot of people can relate when you feel like what God has for you and your expectations don't meet up, right? Where you expected it to be one way and God's like, I'm taking you into a different direction with this, right?
Yeah.
That's a whole thing, right? And he started leading me back towards writing, which I've been writing for a long time, but I had stepped away from it for several years. And I had been disappointed because I had heard a lot of no's and gotten a lot of doors closed through that process. And so it felt like, I had this moment of, I don't want another disappointment, God.
Yep.
I don't want another rejection. I don't want to deal with another closed door. I know somebody out here understands what that means, right?
That's somebody.
Listen, it's me too, girl. It's me too.
Oh, man.
Child, like when and it could be so many things, right? If it's relationships and dating, you're like, I don't want another bad relationship. I don't want another lost job. I don't want another health problem, yet another one, right? Like there's so many ways where we just get tired and we just get disappointed and we just feel like, God, there's so many times when it didn't work out. Like what makes this different, right? And we go back to that moment where we talked about earlier of his ways are not our ways. Like he sees where this is going. Yes. And so he knows that this time is different. He knows what's on the other side of this yes. He knows what's coming after Moses says yes with the burning bush. He knew about the Red Sea while Moses was still on the mountain. He knew that the Red Sea was coming. Right? He knew everything that was coming after it. And that's how he is with us. But we have to take that first step of trusting him when we don't understand, when we can't see anything except that first step that's in front of us, everything else around us can be dark, but you have enough light for that first step, right? I think there's a book by Stomi Armartian, I believe her name is, that's called Just Enough Light for the Step I'm On. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of speaks to that idea of like, you don't necessarily need the whole path ahead of you, right? God has enough for you for that, to take that first step. He speaks to you about that first step, and you take that first step of obedience. And that's when things start to open up. It doesn't open up before you take that first step necessarily. He doesn't promise that he's going to give you the whole plan, right? But that's where the trust comes in. That's where we have to really trust that what God has for us is better than what we could plan for ourselves. And that's what I've had to do in this season, of just trusting that even in the midst of these disappointments with my writing, and even though I loved, you know, doing my podcast and really reaching people through that, that this is a different season and he's having me change direction. And with all the challenges that come from that, I choose to trust him.
That's so good. And I love the last thing you said is just far as even with the challenges. And mm-hmm. I think that definitely has to be spoken to, because trusting God is not easy, right? Like hearing from God and being obedient to what he says in these big, sometimes crazy sounding things, it's not always easy, but there's the choice of, regardless of how this feels, I'm still going to do it. Regardless of what this position may put me in, or how this may make me feel, or how this obedience may shape and mold me in a way that I don't want to, I will do it because of who he is, and because I know that it will be worth it because I'm doing it for God. And you talked about giving up the podcast. That's a big thing, right? Like yeah. That's something that you've put time and energy to. And I know what that feels like for those that have listened maybe to my testimony in the past. Like I left my career of nursing, something I had put a lot of time and effort into, and not in like a, man, God, like, what, I did all this work, you know, but it's just a fact, like this is something that you did dedicate time to, you did have big plans for, but trusting to pivot, right? Like there those pivotal moments in our lives where we're going one direction and God's like, hey, go this way, and you're like, oh well, okay, I was not ready, I did not pack for that weather, I got a parka and you sent me to Florida, like that's what it feels like, you know. I'm like, could you, You didn't put this on the itinerary, Lord. Like I checked the weather before we left, and now I gotta stop by the store and get flip flops and a tank top because you have this thing. Like that's what it feels like spiritually, you know. Like when mm-hmm. you're just on track, and then boom, God's like, "Hey, so you know that thing? Yeah, we're done." And you're like,
"Excuse me,
done where?
What was that?
Done where? With who? Like?" And so it really comes down to really trusting that he is really, for real in control. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many of those moments when God told me to leave the church that I was grew up in, that I was raised in, and go somewhere new. It did not make sense to anybody. It didn't even make sense to me. Like,
yeah,
there was pieces that he gave me, but I didn't see the full picture until I got to where I needed to be. And man, like the blessings just poured out on my life once I walked in obedience. Same thing with leaving my career to do full-time ministry. Big pivot, big shift. I mean, y'all, I was driving to work one day and everything was fine. Like it was a normal day. On the way back from work, I started feeling like kind of weird. And I was like, this random thought just popped in my head. Like, I don't think I'm going to be doing this much longer. And I was like, Steph, like, are you okay? Do you need sleep? Do you need food? Like what happened? And then long story short, the Lord began to, that was like the first little drop of like, hey, like I'm nudging you, like you're not going to be here much longer. And then mm-hmm. Over the next month and a half or so, the Lord made himself very clear and I made that pivot. But it's important that we, even as Moses, you know, kind of rationalize with God a little bit like, hey, me, like, I don't know why you're sending me. But even in that, still going forward with that, I think those are very, very good pieces of advice for people to hear, because, you know, we'll hear it at church, like trust the Lord, walk in faith, you know, the song Oceans is like, when oceans are, I just let, you know, I just want to walk out beyond the waves, spirit mm-hmm. lead me. But we forget the part that when spirit leads you, it's gonna be hard.
Mm-hmm. There's wind out on those waves. There's a lot of wind out there, the waves be up and down, they're not calm waves,
right? Right. Right. Like, no, seriously, there is mad wind out there. Like, mm-hmm. even talking about Peter walking on water, like, we always are like, okay, Peter got out the boat and he walked on water. But if we really look at the scripture, the water was not calm.
No, it wasn't.
When Peter was walking on it. And when I really, like, when I was first, like, made aware of that, like, it blew my mind. Like, y'all can read it for yourself. Because I always imagine the whole, like, Jesus calming the storm happened simultaneously when Peter got out the boat. And I was like, no, he was already walking. And that's why he started thinking, I would have sunk too. I would have looked down like, whoa, these waves are up to my, you know, it's up to my neck. So those moments like that, like, man, it's like, yes, like, you get really pumped up, right? Like, I know people you've gotten real excited about doing something for God. Like, I'm going to go to the nations. And then you get to the nations and you realize that the support's maybe not there how you thought it would be. And now you're in a third world country all the way across the world. And you still got to go and share the gospel, you know? Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're like, yes, Lord, you're at the altar. Like, I surrender all. You got the tears and the boogers going down your face. And then God's like, move to a new state.
Mm-hmm.
Move like a state of mind. Is that what you
not the state of mind stuff.
Because that's the only state I'm trying to move to. Like, that's how it can feel. And so mm-hmm. when, even in these conversations, like, it's meant to let you know that it's not always just this walk in the park type thing. Anybody that you've seen take a leap of faith, it has felt like a leap, and you feel like you're just suspended in the air for a really long time.
Yes.
Like, there are very challenging moments that come with that. But for every person that's actually taken that leap of faith, that's not just heard God, but listened and obeyed him, they've seen the blessing and the reward that comes with it. Mm-hmm. I can speak for, I know Lisa can too. And you can even mm-hmm. ask people in your life, if you know people that have stepped out on faith, ask them their story. Ask them to share of the journey that it took. And if they're vulnerable enough, they're transparent enough, they'll share the ups and downs that came with that. But they'll be able to say, man, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Mm-hmm. I've seen how God's shown up on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And so it's key for us not to just hear, because we can hear a lot of things. But once we hear it, to then take that action forward.
That's so good. I want to add one part too with that, that I just thought of. That you never know who is attached to your yes, right?
Yeah.
Like, because even with Moses and what God, the direction that God gave him, right? He didn't know all of the miracles that were attached, right? Because God said, you know, I want to use you to go to Pharaoh, and I want to deliver the Israelites. He didn't know everything that was involved with that, right? He didn't know, like, how all of those people would continue to be affected by that yes, you know, decades later when they came into the promised land and everything that was connected to it. And so I think it's wonderful to think about the blessings that affect us personally, right? That's what we get excited about. And God is amazing and gracious to be willing to give us, you know, these different blessings and rewards and different things for following him and obeying him. But there's something really powerful about knowing that your yes could affect people generations from now.
Yes.
Right. And kind of ties back to what we were saying about God being a generational God. Like, he's not just focused on today, and he's not just necessarily focused on your life. You know, he's focused on your children or your nieces or your nephews, people in your community, people that you interact with every day. And he cares about them too. And there's this amazing partnership that we can have with God, where we can be a part of bringing his will to pass in the earth in a way that affects people even after we've gone to be with him. And that's something that just really excites me and really kind of humbles me. And I think is amazing that God uses us in that way too.
Yeah, that is a very sobering thought. A very humbling thought to acknowledge as we're discussing obedience, because when I think it puts a little bit of fire under us, you know, like when we realize, hey, this isn't just about me. Like, that's what keeps me on the days when I don't feel like doing stuff for Christian Girls Pop, right? Or like maybe moms, like when you realize, like, I really don't want to do something, you know, I really don't want to cook dinner tonight, right? Like, I really don't want to take
one more diaper.
Right. It's like, if I pick one more child up from swim practice, I may lose my mind. I may, right? But it's remembering that it's not about us, that there's things that we're doing, just our consistency and showing up. That alone is blessing others. The work that God is calling us to do, whether it's a book, a ministry launch, whether it's, you know, starting something in your community, at your school, maybe meeting with the moms and doing something with them. Everything that you're doing, it's more than you. It's more than just your little bubble right here. Like, there's so much else happening around you, and there's things that you won't even ever get to know. And that's cool. And so that's why we can't get so like, well, I want to know everything. Like, I want, you know, like, I want to know who this going to bless. Don't worry about that. Don't focus on that. Just do what you know to do and trust that God is working in ways that you've never seen, you've never heard of, you may never see. You may see it from heaven and just be like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you know, but that's such a good point. Really trusting that, that God is going to do so much more through you. And sometimes he does more. He starts with us first. You know, he does the work in us. And then he's like, all right, now it's time to not just work in you, but now work through you. I got other people to bless because of you. And it's an honor, right? Like, it's an honor when we get to know that we're used by God. Like, yes, Lord, like, sure, whatever you need from me, because I want to make sure that I am honoring you and I'm just a willing vessel, you know, for who, however you would like to move. That's a really good point. Thanks for adding that.
Amen.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to wrap things up soon, but last minute advice to someone who has heard from God. So they know, they already know, but they're in that in-between between hearing and doing, hearing and obeying. What will be something real quick that you would share with them?
Ooh, that's a good question. If you're unsure, it's okay to take time to be still. And I think if this is someone who, the more time you spend with God, the more time, you know, like we were saying at the beginning, the more time you get to know God and you spend in his word, you know, recognize that God is not like a taskmaster. He's not like, you know, standing over you waiting for you to make one wrong move and then it's all over for you, right? I think that sometimes, you know, I've struggled with this, you know, in the past, and of feeling like, you know, that fear of getting things wrong, right? God is gracious. He's good, right? And so he recognizes that we're human. The Bible says that he knows that we're dust. And so he's patient with us. If you need some time to really sit and hear from him and get clarity and get confirmation, he'll give you that, right? The other thing I would say is to be mindful of who you go to for advice and for counsel.
Yes. Talk about it. Talk about it. Yes.
Girl, because it's, the thing is, like, depending on who you ask, they could either feed your faith or snuff it out.
Right.
I mean,
you are that's right. Like, imagine Moses going and telling somebody like, hey, so I know this sounds crazy, but I was just at a bush that was on fire, but it didn't burn. And I took my shoes off and I was talking with the Lord. And now I got to go lead people out of slavery. Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, bro, go off. Like, sure.
Mm-hmm. Imagine if Moses had gone back to his friends in Egypt that he grew up with in the palace and was like, hey, do y'all think I should go talk to Pharaoh right quick? Like, what y'all think about that?
Right.
No, that, first of all, he ran for a reason, right? I mean, that's the whole thing. So, like, the whole fact of him going back, there was a lot of reasons why he had, you know, was concerned about that, right? He was a fugitive when he left. But the people you ask, it's important to bring people into your circle who can hear from God themselves and have the faith to believe his word and can advise you based on the Father's heart and not on their own personal motives or feelings or opinions about things. Because our feelings can be, they can be shaky, right? And so it's, you know, not to say that people are always necessarily out to get you or anything like that, but I think it's just important to be mindful and to be really thoughtful about who we go to when we are trying to get confirmation, trying to hear from the Lord, and to surround ourselves with people who can hear from him as well. And if you don't, I know a lot of people struggle with that because they say, well, I don't have anyone around me who hears from God. I'm the only Christian in my family, or I'm the only Christian in my friend circle. And so I would say then, you know, to ask God to show you who he has for you, because sometimes he's brought people to you and you don't even see them. Right. And it's not until he opens your eyes to who they are that you're able to start forming those relationships. But God is intentional. The Bible says that he puts the lonely in families. And so he designed us to be in community, to be around people who love him and are constantly kind of pushing us toward him, and we're pushing them toward him, you know, and kind of running side by side. And so I think that's a big part of it as well. If you don't have that, those people around you, then just ask God to bring them to you and to show you who they are, and he will.
Yeah, that's very good. And so true, because everybody's not the person to go to. Like, if you know that person is always negative and never has stepped out on faith, don't ask them for something big, because they're not going to help you. Now you're just confused. Like, you thought you were confused before you talked with them. Now you really will just, but is it me? Is it God? Am I crazy? You know, like, you really start going through the list. So I feel like, to kind of sum up what you said, you're like, be still and be smart, right? Like,
that's be good. Still, yeah.
Sit with the Lord and be smart about who you're talking about this with. There are certain moves that I did that I didn't talk about with anyone. I knew this is what God had for me, or I think I maybe discussed it with one person that I really trusted. And then I just went for it. And I told everybody else after the fact.
Same. Right? Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't need the extra voices in my head when I'm completely sure about this thing. Yeah. Now there's things that I have been like, I really don't know. Like, let me ask, you know, kind of get some clarity. But even with leaving my job, I talked about it with a handful of people, and most of the people that I was talking about it with, it was already like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm just letting y'all know. I'm not asking. I'm telling you, you know? And then I told people. I didn't even tell my parents until I had already discussed it with my boss. Not because they were necessarily giving me negative input, but I didn't want any extra voices, because I knew this is what God had for me. And so there are certain things that you're just going to have to step out of the boat, and everybody else will see it when they look back and you're not in the boat. Like, they're just going to have to figure it out. When they see you walking out on the waves, they're like, oh, okay. Right? She did it. All righty then. But no, that's great advice. I thank you for sharing that. And I thank you for being a part of this episode. I know that the listeners are so blessed by this, and that they're just encouraged in their experience of hearing God's voice and being obedient. So thanks so much, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Stephanie. It was so fun to be here. And I really appreciate you bringing me on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And for those that are listening, how can they get in contact with you? How can they be on the lookout for anything that you have?
Yeah, you can definitely reach me on Instagram and Facebook. You can find me at Lisa C. Gant on Instagram. That's Lisa C. Gant. And on Facebook, it's Lisa C. Gant Co. And you can also reach me on my website, which is lisacgant.com.
All right, y'all, make sure to check her out. And while you're doing that, if you haven't already, make sure you follow Christian Girls Pop on Facebook and Instagram. And you can use the username Christian Girls Pop. You also can check out our website, ChristianGirlsPop.com, and check out our YouTube channel, Christian Girls Pop. If you haven't already, make sure you get your copy of Scripture Made Simple, which is an ebook to help you go through the Bible in an entire year. You can start it at any time, and it has daily notes, challenges, and resources to help you as you study the Bible. So make sure you check that out. You can find that on our website, and all the links that we mentioned are all available below in the podcast notes. So make sure you check that out before you check out a new episode. Be back next week with y'all with more content, more speakers, more amazing Sunday school stories. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. And as always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.